Blog Talk Radio.
It's showtime.
Greetings. Welcome to CAGDU, About Your Dog and You. CAGDU stands for Capital Area Guide Dog Users, Inc. That supports you and your dog. I am your host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor. And CAGDU, About Your Dog and You, is a show that talks about how you get a guide dog, when you get a guide dog, where you get a guide dog from, why you get a guide dog, who gets a guide dog. And our special guests will share their perspective as well as some of their experiences while they use a guide dog. Again, this is CAGDU, About Your Dog and You. And again, I am your host, Robin Radio Ray Razor. And I have my number 7 guide dog named Miss Ray Zen. So, again, you are joining CAGDU, Capital Area Guide Dog Users, Inc. And at microphone number 2 is the hostess with the mostest, Miss Renee. How are you doing today, Miss Renee?
Well, Ramsey, of modern technology, we're actually broadcasting from beautiful downtown Detroit. No, I should say it's Detroit. People from Detroit hate when you say Detroit. It's Detroit.
Yeah, and you know, every city, and we are broadcasting from Detroit this weekend, every city has its own unique aspect of personality. And a couple of things in Detroit here, is I don't drive, but I hear people have a lot of businesses that deal with auto body shops. And so I don't know, I guess because you're here in Detroit, there's so many cars, and the way I see some of these people drive, I can understand why they have so many auto body shops. But also, Detroit has the original, and I have to do some research to get my Cracker Jack team to do research on this, but they have the original Pancake House. And we've eaten there a couple of times, ate there yesterday, and it's pretty good. And I'm telling you, you got to get here early. I think we had to wait an hour to be able to be seated. So those are some of the aspects of Detroit and the country. Everybody know about the Motown sound and, you know, and all. And I think we're going to try to maybe possibly go out. They have some little place that's a museum sort of. What's the name of it, Mr. Nay, called something before they came up with the name Motown City?
Well, it was called Hicksville, USA, and it's a museum.
Yeah. So we're going to do some exploring of that. But anyway,
yeah, it morphed into Motown. Most of us know Motown and all the stars that came out of there: Marvin Gaye, Stevie Wonder, the Supremes. I mean, that it birthed all of those acts and many, many more.
Yeah. And so anyway, it's interesting to be here. It's interesting sometime to get away. Of course, we're originally from the DMV, District of Columbia, Maryland, and Virginia. They are so close together. That's why people call them the DMV. Sometimes you can't even but it's interesting, though. We'll talk about that another time, about just the different aspects of personalities from District, Maryland, and Virginia. But we'll talk about that more, especially with the elections coming up. So anyway, Ms. Renee, will you give us a rundown of our show today?
I will. Well, we always begin with stop dogging us around, the good, the bad, and the ugly of using a guide dog, the adventures of Mr. Ray and Ms. Raven, and in the news, the good, the bad, and the ugly, news which affects the disability and senior communities. And we sign off with your call to action.
All right.
Our guest.
Yes.
Do you want me to introduce our guest now?
Yeah, let's. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, introduce, and then we'll come back.
Okay. Well, decisions, we all make them, big ones, small ones, and some life-changing. Our guest, Penny Reeder, made a decision to get a guide dog, and today we learn from her what went into her decision. That's what we're going to talk about today, Rev.
All right. So we're going to come back to our guest in a moment, but, you know, we always like to do stop dogging us around the good, the bad, the ugly of using a guide dog. And as I always say, when you write down on the ledger, the good, the bad, and the ugly, you will get more of the good of using a guide dog that gives you the independence, gives you the confidence of a blind person just being able to get around. I don't think anybody, at least 99 out of the 100 people I have talked to that successfully got the guide dog, because now a lot of times it's not the dog, it's the person that's trying to use the dog that it doesn't do well. But when you have a successful team of guide dog user in the dog, it is a wonderful thing to see. I mean, just to see a blind person in motion with the confidence using the dog, moving. Entry in motion, believe me. And I know for myself, I am a master cane traveler, but to be able to have the ability to use a guide dog and the privilege, I just feel so free. I mean, just, you know, and just to be independent and moving and going places and doing things just gives you the confidence, I'm telling you. But anyway, so for me, those are good. Now, I think the only bad is people that lazy don't want to take their dogs out to relieve themselves like they need to do a couple of times a day. Don't groom their dog. That's one of my pet peeves. These dogs have to be out in the public. We have to use public transportation. So you have to groom the dog. And one of the benefits of grooming the dog, you've been an over, you pushing that 60-pound dog around, you'd be surprised the help that and I'm going to tell you, over the number of years, my first dog I got in June of 71, so I had the dog. Matter of fact, one of the things CNI does, when you become a 50-year dog user, they send you a nice trophy. And so this year, I received my 50-year trophy from CNI for using dog for more than 50 years. And what I wanted to say about that is, in just a general survey, I noticed people that use service dogs, they are more healthy, they are more upbeat, their people skills are just a little more average than most, you know, blind people or persons with disability. Because when you're taking care of something else other than yourself, you become responsible, you become animated. Because if you got a dog and stuff, you ain't just saying, yeah, okay, yeah, sit down. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're an animated person, and you're just much more interesting. Okay, so, and I know I'm going to get a lot of emails and calls and stuff like that. Yeah, what are you talking about, Reverend Ray? I mean, you know, I ain't got no dog, and I'm interested. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But anyway, anyway, I see just a lot of good in having a guide dog. And as we talk to our guests, I'm sure they'll share some of their good, bad, and ugly. So, Ms. Renee, once again, and I want to say that segment is brought by the Big Bad Wolf, which is located in Maryland. Tacoma Park, Maryland. Sorry, and matter of fact, our guest, that name is Penny, the lady that owns Big Bad Wolf. Her name is Miss Penny. So Miss Penny, forgive me for that. So you can check with Miss Penny. You can go on her website at www.thebigbadwolf.com and let her know that you heard it on CAGDU about your dog and you, and they was before delivery became vogue, they was already delivering dog food and all the type of things you need for your cats and your journals that are running around in little cages going no place. So they have top of all top of the top line, top shelf of all the products that they use. So you can call them at 202-747-3434. That's 202-747-3434. And just let Miss Penny know that you heard it on CAGDU about your dog and you, and she'll probably drop a little something extra in that bag for you. Now over to Ms. Renee to introduce our special guest today.
Well, there are 14 guide dog schools, so how do you choose one? Our guest, Penny Reeder, made that decision twice, and today she's sharing what she learned along the way. Welcome, Penny.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am, we can hear you fine.
Perfect.
And thank you very much. Thank you for doing it.
It's been three times. And thank you. Ray, what's the name of that sponsor? I need to know about them.
Oh, the Big Bad Wolf, W-O-O-F, Wolf, Wolf. The Big Bad Wolf.
How cute.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. I'm going to check them out. Thank you.
Okay, please do. Yeah, I'm going to promote her a little more. She's been a sponsor since we started the show, and this year in September, the 14th, will be the 10th year that we've been doing radio with Ms. Renee.
Well, congratulations.
And congratulations on your trophy. Thank you. And April that just passed will be the second year that we've been doing CAGDU, that our late co-host and founder, Charlie Crawford, started the show. It would have been 2 years last month, April.
Yeah, I miss Charlie every day.
Yes, we do. Okay, well, now we're going to get to know about Miss Penny, and I met Penny, oh, boy,
I think it was a long time ago, like in the early 90s.
Yeah, the early 90s. I think it was 94. I think it was at Columbia Lighthouse for the Blinds. We was in the computer class, but we did not realize computers was going to dominate our lives.
That's
true. Well, Ms. Penny, tell us a little bit about yourself, please, and then we're going to talk to you about some things.
Okay. Well, that was a fun computer class, Ray. And you were really the first person I ever met who had a guide dog. So I was pretty impressed. You wouldn't let me touch the dog, but I actually sat in a chair next to you and I petted that dog through the whole class.
I knew it was something when that dog would see you and hear your voice, wanted to go over there by you.
Oh, my God.
Like, okay.
We were buddies. So I am like an old lady now. I was born on the eastern shore of Maryland. I grew up in a town called Federalsburg, which isn't too far from Denton. If you go to the beach, you go through Denton, and my father's farm was not too far from that highway. My dad was a chicken farmer. He raised chickens for people like Frank Perdue. It was a terrible way to make a living, but it was a good lifestyle. We had a happy family. I was a preemie. So I have ROP, retinopathy of prematurity. I could see well enough to read large print when I was a kid. I could never read a chalkboard, and I could never see people's faces, but I could read print very slowly. And so I was mainstreamed in the public school system, primarily because my mom did not want to send a five-year away to a school for the blind where she wouldn't have seen me between September and November. It had its pros and cons. It was a good way to grow up because I got to have a normal family life. I can identify with all the things of the baby boomer generation because we all watched the same TV shows and had many of the same experiences. And I think kids at Schools for the Blind missed out on some of that. But what I missed out on by not going to School for the Blind was getting the skills that I could have used. I didn't learn Braille. I didn't learn O&M until I went to college. And I really didn't realize how much I couldn't see. When I went off to college, I went to Washington College, which is in Chestertown, Maryland. And I fell down every set of stairs on the campus.
Oh, wow.
You know, because when you... I, I, we, on a farm, you pretty much stay at home. And so I was very familiar with my environment. Then I got to campus, and I couldn't see anything, and I was totally unprepared for that. So,
okay. One moment, Mr. Attorney. When you hear
no
that
problem.
Music, that means we have to go to break. Reverend Ray has to pay bills so he can pay
do
people
that.
Like his staff, like Ms. Renee and those people. And right now, you know, because of Amazon allowing those people to start a reunion, Ms. Renee and them were talking behind my back. So I don't know if they're talking about a start their own union or what. So I got to pay some bills here for them. So you're listening to Can't Do a Bunch of Dog and You, and we will be back on the other side with our special guest.
You are listening to CAGDU About Your Dog and You. CAGDU stands for Capital Area Dog Guide Users, and we're located in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. But the information we share is for guide dog users everywhere. Back over to our host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor, and our special guest, Penny Reeder.
Penny, let me ask you, did you know any blind people before you went to college or interact with, you know, other blind people to understand what their experiences were like?
So I'm going to tell you a story. I never knew another blind person before I went to college. And then I met a blind person on campus. She was a year ahead of me. Her name was Ellen Rubin, still is. And so when I was at the end of my freshman year, Ellen came, she heard there was another blind person on campus. She came over to meet me, and we decided to take a walk to the pizza shop to buy us up. And so we walked to the pizza shop, and I was just like walking next to Ellen. And then when we got out of the pizza shop, it took a while to be in line, and it had turned dark, and I could not see a thing. And I had no way how to guide Ellen, which I thought I was doing on the way to the pizza shop, or how to get home. And Ellen pulled out her white cane, and we walked it home together. And while we were on that walk, she explained to me that, you know what, if you can't see, you really are actually a blind person. And a white cane does more than identify people as blind. It helps you get around, and you need O&M. And that summer, I went to my rehab counselor, who had only interacted with me once I got the scholarship, and I told him I wanted O&M training. And the next year, I went to Philadelphia and got some O&M. And I used the white cane from then on until quite a number of years later. And I graduated from college, and I got a job at NIST.
Let me interject right here. You know, we live in the DMV, the District, Maryland, and Virginia. We have a tendency to acronyms. For those of us who aren't familiar with O&M, because we have listeners who are new to blindness or have never or just want to learn more about blindness, what exactly is O&M and what does it entail?
So orientation and mobility is training in how to figure out where you are and how to figure out how to get to where you're going and how to stay safe while doing that. Most people who learn O&M learn it with a white mobility cane, and there are people that are specially trained in orientation and mobility who give you those lessons. I went to the IHV, Industrial Home for the Blind in Philadelphia. That was the contractor that the Division of Rehab Services was using at that time. And it was a revelation to me. You know, I had grown up in the country. I didn't even know how streets intersected to form a block before I got there. And I learned a lot. I learned to use the subways in Philly and the buses and the trolley cars. I had never done any of those things before. So it was very liberating.
So when you
then
went back to
graduated. Go ahead.
So when you went back the following year, you had some mobility skills and all. So
yeah,
was
didn't
it much
on the stairs
easier?
Anymore.
Okay.
It made a huge difference.
Well, let me ask you this. You and the other young lady was the two blind students on campus. How would you all perceive and in which you are invited into, you know, all these college groups hanging out, drinking, partying, having a good time, carrying on. Was you all part of that scene, or was you accepted in that scene?
I think Ellen was a little more accepted than I was, but I got there. but after I had the orientation and mobility training, then I was more willing to go out at night by myself or with a group because I was capable of doing it. But when I was a freshman on campus, I hardly ever left my dorm at night because I didn't know where I was. It was a very scary experience.
But, you know, Penny, I think it's so important for you to make the distinction with the white cane that it doesn't just designate a person as a person who's blind and low vision, but it is also a tool because many sighted people don't realize that the cane is more useful than just an identifier. And I'm so glad that you made that point.
When you're dragging it along the ground in front of you, it's a cane that finds the stairs before you fall down them. It's a cane that finds the pole and the wall, you know. It's the cane that helps you figure out where you're going until you get a guide dog, and then things are even better.
Well, that was the perfect segue into talking about the guide dog. I do want to just share something because oftentimes, again, people who don't understand the world of guide dogs and canes wonder, well, if you have a dog, why do you need orientation and mobility? And there was a quote today, and I think it is so perfect. A person who was getting a guide dog said, well, why do I need a guide dog? Why do I need orientation and mobility if I have a guide dog? He said, if you don't have good orientation and mobility, all a guide dog does is to get you lost faster. So on that note, we want to go right into what motivated you to get a guide dog.
Well, I'll tell you another story. I have a bunch of children. I don't know if you remember, but I have six. And
yeah.
our fourth child, his name is Zach. He learned to walk when he was 9 months old. And by the time he was a year and a half old, he was going anywhere he wanted to go. And there was not a door he could not unlock. And so Zach would go out and sometimes hide from me. And I thought one day, you know what, if I were to get a dog, a seeing eye dog, maybe that dog would help me keep track of my kids. So I called a social worker that I knew. I had met her at Columbia Lighthouse for the Blind when I worked at their summer camp one year. And I said, I want to get a seeing eye dog. But I still had a lot of vision. I was in my 30s. And she said, oh, no, you can't have a seeing eye dog. You have way too much vision for a seeing eye dog. And she didn't know that, and she was wrong. But I did not get it. I didn't even try after I talked to her.
Wow.
And I didn't even think about getting a dog until I went to work at the American Council of the Blind. And I was around 50 years old, so it was 20 years later. And then I met Charlie Crawford and Melanie Brunson and a lot of other people who were doing great with their guide dogs. And I thought, you know what? I would love to have a dog. I never did love using the cane. I love the way it kept me safe. But I'm not the best cane traveler. I can manage. But I never loved it. And I do like dogs. So I applied to Sedelco. I still had a young child at that time. Seth was six. And I knew I couldn't be away from home for, like, at that time it was a month. Residential training was a month as a seeing eye. But Sedelco was a school that still does train people in their communities. They only train German Shepherd dogs. And I applied to Sedelco, and I got my first dog in the year 2000. And there was no going back after that.
And you found Zach, I take it. And what does Fidelco
stand for? He managed to start listening and staying around home most of the time.
What does Fidelco stand for?
I don't know. I think it's the owners were very into their breedings that came from Germany, and they were really into right. German Shepherd dogs. So I don't know. I don't know how the name arrived, but they were amazing people. The person that owned this, that founded the school, was an engineer, and he invented some really famous, like, important helicopters in the 1940s. And then his wife, whose name was Ruby, she was the person who was into dogs. And it was a fabulous experience. Glory was a wonderful dog. She only lasted 18 months with me, but she was still a wonderful dog. And my next dog was Tess, and she was also a Fidelzo dog. Then
well,
after
you know,
Tess,
I think let me interject right here. You know, I don't want this decision to be lost on people as we're going quickly. You talk about choosing the right school for you and being trained in your own community. Not everybody lives in an urban area. Not everybody lives in a country area. You might be some combination of two. But how did you know was the deciding factor for Fidelco choosing the right school for you, the fact that they came and trained you in your community?
Yes, that was for me. I'm sorry, my house cleaner is just arriving. I'm going to have to find another room. Hola. Yara, come. I'm sorry, Ray, I'm coming back. Yara, come.
Okay. Hey, Ray, must be nice to have a house cleaner.
Yeah. That was the deciding factor because I didn't want to leave my six-year-old for much.
Okay, now you said you grew up on a farm.
That's
not, do you still live in a country environment? Or
Yara, come.
Why don't we go to a break now and let you handle that, and we'll come back because this is real life. Okay?
Okay, cool.
Okay?
Thank you.
Okay. All righty.
So
we are taking a break.
Unfortunately, it's raining.
Okay, well, we want to thank our sponsor, Big Bad Wolf, a Primo pet store located in the Tacoma Park neighborhood of Washington, D.C. They carry raw, organic, and premium foods. If your dog needs it, they have it. They have store-to-door deliveries in the DMV, that's the District, Maryland, and Virginia. So give them a call at 202-747-3434. And back over to our host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor.
And Ms. Renee, I hope you didn't hear some of that Penny was saying, because at the next union labor bargaining, I hope y'all don't want housekeepers. Okay, so Ms.
Yes, we will. Yes, we will.
These guys are wonderful. You need them.
So
I wanted her to answer my last question, which was, Penny, do you live in a rural, semi-rural, or city environment now?
I lived in a suburban environment, but I was commuting to D.C. at the time. So every day, I commuted for 90 minutes twice a day.
90 minutes? I didn't realize it took you that long. Oh, my goodness.
It took forever. I had to drop my kid off at daycare. I had to then get a ride or a bus to the metro station. Then it was a long ride from Shady Grove to what was the name of that? To the station on L Street where we worked. So, and then coming home was reverse.
Wow.
I live pretty far out. I live way out in northern Montgomery County.
Oh, okay. They really live that far out. My goodness. Oh.
Okay, so what was the advantage to training in your own environment from your experience?
So it was good. The home training was really good. I don't know if I would recommend it for every first-time guide dog user, but I learned a lot, and my trainer was wonderful and apparently gorgeous, and so lots of people were jealous of me. and I learned a lot, and they were so helpful. The school was wonderful. Corey was, she was a wonderful dog, but she was kind of obsessed with small animals. And she really did not like cats, and we had a cat.
Oh, my.
And so they worked with me to try to solve that problem, and we never really did solve it. So we retired Corey at 18 months, and she went back to live with her puppy raisers. And it was kind of traumatic, but I survived, and it was the best thing for all of us. And then I got tests. I got tests within a week from Fidelco. And that was when the sniper was around. Remember the D.C. sniper?
Oh, yeah.
I remember that.
So the school didn't want to send down their trainers and put their lives at risk. So I went to Connecticut, which is where the school was based. And my sister lived there, and I stayed with her for 3 weeks, and they trained me there in my sister's neighborhood. And then Cass and I came back home, and they caught the sniper the day before we arrived back home. So it worked out fine.
Wow.
And she was a wonderful dog. She was like the poster child for guide dogs. She was a perfect dog.
Oh, that's great. Was that still a German Shepherd?
I'm sorry?
German Shepherd. They only train German Shepherds.
Yeah, they only train German Shepherds.
Well, Penny, did you get a dog? You said you didn't get a dog until you was 50, and that's really unusual, as you know yourself. But were you working before you got the dog, or you started working after you got a dog?
No, I was working before I got the dog and using a white cane. But I found that my work was a lot easier. My commutes were a lot easier with the dog.
Okay. So, wow. Oh, okay. I can imagine
because
that.
Because people, you know what? If you have a dog, people are so much more willing to talk to you and forget about your blindness than they are if you have a cane.
That is true. And of course, for the minute, it's a chick getter, but we won't talk about that. That's another show.
I've heard
but,
that. I guess we'll have to ask Renee about that.
Hey, wait. I'm living proof. He had a dog. I went to, I will tell this story. I had never lived with a dog, and we got married, fairly short after dating. And he told me, I have a guide dog, et cetera, et cetera. And I said, well, what if I'm allergic to the dog? He said, I will miss you. That was his response.
Penny having a dog, she know how important these dogs. They become like an extension of us. They really, really do. And that's why it's so difficult when you lose one, knowing, and they try to prepare you for this, but it's nowhere to prepare you
for losing a dog.
Yeah, they can't, even though with the words that we know you're going to have more than one dog, you're not going to have this dog forever, but still, it's just no way you can separate that emotion. So, Penny, one of the things when you hear a blind woman having six children, of course, people are like, I don't want them to get six children, but we won't talk about that. But having that many kids, how did the dog fit in? And later with I don't know how many kids was, still at home. I guess some was gone, flew the coop. But how did that integrate? And then with your husband, is your husband sighted or blind? And how did that integrate?
So my husband is sighted, and
his name Carl.
The dog.
His name Carl.
Yeah,
right.
His name is Carl. Yeah, mm-hmm. And the dog worked great. She was like a pet for everybody, but she worked for me. And everybody loved her, and she had lots of people to play with her all the time. And she was all my dogs have just been super friendly, and they have all met all my kids' friends too. And so it's been an exciting environment, I think, for dogs who live with us. I think it was harder with the dog for my husband. I mean, he loved the dog, but we didn't walk around holding hands anymore, because the dog was walking and I were walking independently. I think that was a kind of a rough adjustment, and it can be. But, we worked through it, and we're fine with it now. And now I accuse him of never helping me when I need it. So, it worked out fine.
Yeah. brought that up. Raymond went away. I think we'd been married a year or two. And first I got this package. I was so excited. While he was away, because I was missing him, and it was a package. What was the name? What was the name of the company, Raymond?
Called Kisses and Hugs.
Kisses and Hugs. So I thought, I said, he's away. He's missing me as much as I'm missing him. I open it up, and it's something for the dog, whom I have not even met, but I have an attitude about the dog. And when he gets home, it was really important for him to bond with the dog, so I couldn't interact with the dog, et cetera, et cetera. And just like you observed, I felt left out. And I said, I'm going to get me a dog. Now, I've never had a dog, but that's how I felt. You, of all of our guests, nobody has ever mentioned. And I have thought about starting an organization called Association for Sighted Spouses. Think about what the acronym is. We're not going to say it on the radio. But anyway, we're moving right along. So, but that is very real. So, and I love what you said. She was a pet for everybody, but she worked for you. And I think that was such an important distinction.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Rev, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and that's, you know, I have a new dog now. And that's exactly what's happening. I mean, she is everyone loves her. There's only a few of us now at home. But everyone loves her. But she works for me. And she and I are making it a point to go out and work by ourselves so that she doesn't forget that she works for me.
And Penny,
you
I was saying, well, Reed, but just before you say that, Ms. Renee, let me say this. And when I invite her to come on the show and ask her again the name of her dog, and I was sharing this with Ms. Renee, and the name of your dog is what, Penny?
It's Yara, Y-A-R-A.
And how you spell
it? And what is that spelled backwards, Ray?
Hey, Ray.
So Yara is from, well, let me go to the third dog I had was Willow, and she came from the Seeing Eye, and I chose the Seeing Eye because when I was ready to retire Tess, I knew she was ready to retire because she had terrible arthritis in her hips. But she was still working. Tess was great. At the end of her working life, I could say, Tess, we're going to Trader Joe's. Do you want to come or do you want to stay home? If she wanted to come, she would come over to the harness. And if she wanted to stay home, she would curl up in her bed. So it worked out very well. And then when I was ready for another dog, Fidelco was having a drought of dogs. They didn't have enough dogs. And the wait was going to be more than a year, and I didn't want to wait. And I knew Lucas Frank because of convention and because I'm part of ACB and GDY, Guide Dog Users Incorporated. So Lucas and I we did a Juno walk at convention, which is a walk where I walk with a trainer and they decide if I'm a good candidate for a dog. And so I applied.
Wait a minute. When they say Juno, what they actually have is a harness that the trainer is pulling and you holding on to the harness. So it simulates, your speed, your strength, and all of that. That's a Juno walk.
Yeah,
okay,
they can figure out a lot about what you need. So I applied it to Seeing Eye, and Tess got sick and passed away. And the day after she passed away, I got the email from the Seeing Eye that they had a dog for me. And I always felt like Tess did that for me.
So I got
Willow 12 years ago at the Seeing Eye. It was a totally different experience because it's a residential school, and I liked it a lot. It certainly makes it easier to bond with your dog when you go to a residential school because they do everything for you. I wasn't having to do anybody's homework with them or make dinner or do laundry except for my own.
Right.
And I could just concentrate on bonding with Willow. And it was a good experience. And by then, training had been shortened to 2.5 weeks. So I wasn't away as long either. And then Willow passed away 2 years ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Last summer, not 2 years ago. I guess it was 2020. So I've been waiting without a dog for a long time. And also, I have other disabilities. I have COPD, which is a breathing difficulty, disability, and I have to walk very slowly, and sometimes I have to stop pretty frequently to catch my breath. So I applied at the CNI, and they sent an apprentice down to do my training, and he didn't like about how slow I walked or how often I had to stop. So he said maybe I needed to increase my stamina before I applied for a dog. And I'll tell you what, I was really upset about it. I didn't even tell anybody for a month. And I did consider asking for another junior walk, and I could have done that. But I was really disappointed. So I know other people who have dogs from Freedom Guide Dogs. They're another in-community training program. And they specialize in placing dogs with people who have extraordinary needs. Like there's a story they tell about freedom, about how Eric, who's one of their trainers, trained a man who was a vet who had no hands to use a guide dog, and it worked fine. So they are willing to go the extra mile and go out of their way and do what it takes. So they sent down a trainer to do an evaluation, a junior walk, last fall. And I heard in January that I had been accepted. And then I heard from my trainer in April, I think. March. Anyway, they came on April 26th. They brought me Yara. And we have been a team now for a little over 2 weeks.
Wow.
So you're grand. But, you know, I think it's so important, and you make the point so eloquently. At different stages in your life, you need different kinds of responses to your needs. And you're one of the only guests that I can recall that has had experience with three different dog guide schools. And, you know, it's like anything else. If we're not getting into Corvettes anymore, we might need a more suburban vehicle. And it's no different with the guide dogs. And I think you have spoken to it so eloquently about the changing needs personally and the dog also. So
I hope the other school begin to do more about placing older people. They will tell you that they place older people, but they don't always. So I was pretty impressed with Freedom. I mean, my breathing was absolutely horrible 2 weeks ago. I was stopping every 15 feet to catch my breath, and my trainer was fine with that, and so was Yara. She would just sit and wait for me to go, and then she's happy to get up and start moving again. So I'm pretty impressed with the school, and we're all getting older. No matter where you start, you're going to get older at the end. And I really didn't want to give up having a dog. I really missed going places on my own after Willow passed away, even though it was a pandemic and we're mostly still cooped up at home. You still want to take a walk by yourself now and then. So.
Yes.
But I think you've said it so well, and we've had guests on who – I have had some concerns about getting older and the delay in getting a dog to suit their new gait, their new walking speed, et cetera, et cetera. So I think you have articulated that so well.
Well, Freedom is a school based in upstate New York. I know that Gallant Hearts in Mississippi also does a lot of special needs training, and it's an in-community school as well. I don't know about the other schools, but it's certainly worth checking out. Don't just give up on yourself because you're getting older, because I bet there's a dog for you. And one of the things that my Freedom trainer, whose name is David Such, told me was that in every litter, there's at least one, usually two dogs that are just slower and more laid back.
Yeah.
And so there's going to be a way to place you. You might have to wait a little bit longer, but they're going to be able to find you a match, and that's a really reassuring thing to know.
It is. Wow, you've given all of us such hope.
Yeah. And when we come back, I just want to real quick, because that's a whole show, ask Penny about her involvement with ACB, how she got involved with them, what she's doing with them now, because they are preparing ACB, American Council of the Blind National, is preparing for their upcoming hybrid virtual in-person national convention after 2 years of people not physically getting together. And of course that's going to be a venture. I mean, because nobody have all the answers to how to do it, but she is on the board of publications. So I would like her just to share a little bit of that with us. So you're listening to CAGNY about your dog and you, and we'll be back on the other side with our very special guest.
Well, you are listening to CAGNY about your dog and you. CAGNY is the Capital Area Dog Guide Users, and they're located in the nation's capital. Back over to our guest, Penny Reeder, and we're going to talk about her work with the ACB, American Council of the Blind. Rev, take it away.
Yes. All right, Ms. Penny, let us know a little about what you're doing with them and the upcoming convention, but what you're doing with publications and how long you've been with them.
Okay. So I've been a member, I think, since I found out I was a blind person from my friend Ellen when I was in college. But I really didn't get involved. I didn't get involved until the late 90s. And then they were looking for an editor for their magazine, The Braille Forum, and I applied for the job and got it. And I worked there for about 5 years. And since then, I've been a more involved member. And now I'm a big member of the ACB Board of Publications. And so what we do is try to make our publications excellent and informative. And informative for members because about the organization, because ACB is a democracy. And in order to know how to vote, you need to know what's going on in the organization. And you need to know about the people that you're going to be voting for. So that's one of our functions. And we also want the world to understand that blind people can do lots of things. And we like to be independent, and we need some advocacy assistance now and then. And so that's the other goal of ACB's publications. We have a magazine. We have ACB Media, which, you know, broadcasts amazing informational programming. Now there's an ACB Community, which has, I don't know, probably hundreds of calls every week.
Yeah, it has exploded. Yes. Hundreds of calls.
We have a special interest affiliates, and I am a member of the Guide Dog affiliate, and I was the president of Guide Dog Users for 6 years. I just finished my term a couple years ago. The convention, you need to know about the convention. This year the convention is hybrid. It's going to be in Omaha, Nebraska, if you want to go in person. It starts on July 2nd and goes through the 9th, I guess, 8th or 9th. And it's also virtual, so that meeting on Zoom. And you can also listen to most meetings on ACB Media. And anything that you might have missed will be podcast, so you can listen later. GDY, the Guide Dog Affiliate, we voted to make ours a virtual convention. And so there will not be any in-person events in Omaha. And actually, several of our events are going to be taking place during the last week of June. I think June 23rd through the 25th,
yes.
I think.
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
So I know the Guide Dog School Update will be on one of those days. And that's a really good event if you're interested in guide dogs, because we interview all of the schools. They come and answer questions for us and tell us about the differences between the various schools. And it's a two-hour event, so we will have a lot of time to learn about all the guide dog schools. Our last event will be in Omaha, but it'll still be mostly virtual. And there will be some awards given at that event. We're raffling off 4 plush guide dogs in harness. The harnesses are handmade. If you go to our website, guidedogusersinc.com, www.gubui.org or gbui.org. You can purchase raffle tickets. I think they're 3 for $10. It's our biggest fundraiser of the year. So on that last Wednesday of convention, we'll be drawing the raffle winners, and we'll also be giving out GDY awards, and we're going to have a blessing of the guide dogs, and Audrey Gunter will be doing that. And if you have a dog and you contact Audrey, she will add your dog's name to the event. So we have a lot going on, and the convention is going to be great.
Yeah, it sounds wonderful.
A couple of things. I got a couple of texts here, but before that, let me ask you this. I want to say this. The Board of Publication is not an appointed position or is not a volunteer position, but it's a national elected position by the national membership. Isn't that correct, Penny?
That is totally correct, and I'm running again for my final term. So come and vote.
Okay, yeah, I wanted to bring that up. And I got a couple of texts here. One of the texts was, even though you went to college, we did not find out what did you major in college.
I was an international studies major. But Vietnam was going on, and I was very opposed to the war, so I wasn't about to go work for the Pentagon or the Department of State at that time. So I ended up at the National Bureau of Standards.
Oh, okay. So, because the text person wanted to know, what did you major in, and did you use your degree to further your career as a blind person? Oh, okay.
I'm still a junkie. I'm still a news junkie.
When you was mentioning about the news stuff, they was wondering, did you go for journalism or whatever? Because that's dear to Ms. Renee Hart. She always, we say words as her adopted children.
But you were on the right side of the Vietnam War. Okay, moving right along. We always like to end our interview by asking a couple of questions. You've mentioned that you worked for the ACB for over 20 years. What lessons has your work life taught you?
My work life has taught me that blind people are pretty much just like everybody else. And blindness is an aspect of persons' lives that can cause some problems when you're trying to do things, but there are almost always ways to overcome those problems. And our best allies are other people who face the same situations we face. And ACB is a really friendly organization, and I encourage everybody to get to know it better.
Oh, great. And do you have any favorite stories from your work life?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. You should have asked me earlier. I don't know. I really loved doing the magazine. I think it was really excellent when we were doing it. And I really loved encouraging people to write. So I used to tell people, if you have a story for me, you can give it to me any way you want. You can email it. You can send me a Word doc. You can tell me on the phone, and we'll turn it into a story. And I think that was a really wonderful thing. And we really got a lot more people involved in talking about what was important to them and sharing that with other people. And, that was the best thing about working and editing the magazine at that time was exactly that, was really encouraging people to get involved and to tell their stories.
That's beautiful. Everybody has a story, but they just need a way of capturing it. And the fact that you offer that is fantastic.
That's true.
Okay.
Are we done?
We are done. And almost. And Penny, somebody text me again saying, blind people are just like regular people. If she has 6 children, she's like a regular person.
It's the truth.
Because they really don't believe we like regular people.
People are weird, aren't they? They don't get it.
Well, thank you so much, guys.
Thank you so much.
Well, this was fun for you. Thank you so much, and we really appreciate it. And we will have you definitely back on again you know, as we move on, because things you still doing and you can bring to us, and we appreciate that, especially after the convention. We will get together again at the convention, and definitely vote for Penny for American Council of the Blind on the Board of Publications. And she can come back and we can congratulate her. She can tell us about some of the wonderful things went on, especially some of the resolutions that was passed. So thank you. Say hello
You're
to
welcome.
Your husband, Carl, and we always keep him in prayer, and your six children and your new dog, Backwards A. Ray. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Ray.
Thank you, Penny.
Mighty
God bless
you. Have a great time in Motown.
Okay. All right. Indeed. Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All righty. So, Mr. Meg, that was very interesting. You know, here again, even though I had a guy, I have had a guide dog, my seventh, since 1971, over 50 years. When I talk to my colleagues and friends like Penny, because I consider Penny a friend, and their experiences with dogs, it still teaches me something, and, you know, and reveals something to me that I haven't thought about or thought about, and I even have a better understanding of how you felt when I sent those hugs and kisses, you know, package to my dog, and you misunderstood and thought it was for you. But I never thought, I really never thought of the separation of, you know, someone that's with a spouse, and they've been blind for a while, and the spouse pretty much has assisted them or helped them, and they just pretty much accepted that they was their assistant. I mean, you know, I mean, I don't want to say like they pressed the care assistant, but that, you know, they always done things for them. And then all of a sudden, this blind person now has this independence where they don't have to ask them to take them up the street to the store to get, as one of our blind friends said, to get them a Pepsi. But you know what I'm saying? Or they have to go for a walk. Or they were, I mean, now they got this independence. But for so many years, the person just knew that, you know, they was going to have to share or go with this person in a body contact. And I never thought about what Penny said about holding hands. But the body contact, the constant body contact of all day, person assisting you, doing for you, and then all of a sudden, two-thirds of that probably is no longer the case. Yeah, I never even thought about that side of it. So that's going to give me a thought, as well as, and it'll be a question that I will, and it'll be a question from this point on, I will explore with other blind guests that have spouses and got a dog later in life.
But you know, again, it's why we do this show every week. It's why we talk to people who are on the whole spectrum of blindness, whether they are a sighted spouse or whether they are experiencing, because people have life experiences that are so different. And so that's why we do this for 10 years and why we constantly learn new things. So it was a great show. She really opened up some avenues that we've never explored on this show. So
we're running out of time, Rev,
so I'm going to call out. You've been listening to CAGU, About Your Dog and You. That's the Capital Area Dog Guide Users, located in the nation's capital. We are heard here every Friday at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Daylight Saving Time. Have a question or a show idea? You can contact us in all the usual ways. Our email is cagdu2020@gmail.com. That's C-A-G-D as in David, U2020@gmail.com. Want to listen to this show again or to a past show? Go to our website, cagdu.org, and click on the radio show button. Or you can give us a call at 301-263-7371. That's 301-263-7371. Thanks for listening, and tune in for more information about guide dogs and you.
My time is up, and I thank you for your time, and it's Reverend Ray, and I like to say, I might not have sight, but I can have vision, and remember, you can hug your honey or pet your poop. God bless and be blessed.
Thank you for listening. See you next Friday at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Daylight Saving Time.